In the amazing name of Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our amazing Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel reading for tonight, three times amazed. Did you catch it? It says, Jesus went down to Capernaum, and on the Sabbath, he began to teach the people, and the people were amazed at his teaching, because his message had authority. He went into the synagogue. And you know, the devil never misses church. The devil's always in church, and there was a demon-possessed man who was there. Jesus rebuked the demon and said, "Be quiet, come out of him." And the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring the man. And the people were amazed. They were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching with authority and power? Jesus gives orders to evil spirits and they come out." That's two. The third one then. Jesus goes then to Peter's mother-in-law's house, to Simon Peter's house, and Simon Peter's mother-in-law was controlled with a high fever. And they asked Jesus to help her. So Jesus bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. And she got up at once and began to wait on them. Amazing. Three times as we hear it in the scriptures. So I ask you tonight, what amazes you? Our weather recently? 70 degrees yesterday? 30 inches plus of snow up in Washington and New York State, same time as that? Does it amaze you as you watch television and what some of our politicians say and do? Does it amaze you that in Iowa alone they're spending over $70 million in order to try and get their message across? Or maybe it's extreme sports. Do some of those extreme sports amaze you as they do me? Or, I don't know about this up on top of those ski slopes, how anyone amazingly would even think about going down one of those ski slopes. I know there's some football fans out there. What about some of those amazing catches that happen out there? We're amazed by those, aren't we? Little bit of a different way of being amazed, but conception and birth of a child, the miracle of birth, how amazing that is. Or maybe it's too commonplace, maybe not. I was kind of watching out the window at the beginning of the service tonight, the sunset and the sunrises that are there. Amazing, isn't it? Well, as you think about amazing things, how would you put Jesus? Or where would you put Jesus? Where would Jesus be on the list of things that truly amaze us? Are we so used to Jesus? Is that something that isn't quite as amazing to us as he would have it to be? The scriptures for tonight would encourage us to be amazed along with the people that Jesus came to, be amazed at his words and what he says to us. This is the fourth week of Epiphany. Epiphany, you remember, is revealing, Jesus revealing himself to us. Who is this Jesus? The wise men with the star and Jesus' baptism and the water into wine and last Saturday and Sunday, not just any Sabbath, how Jesus comes. And you recall that with this revealing last week that Jesus had said, "Here is who I am. Here is my identity and who it is that I am. I have come to preach good news to the poor. I have come to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. I have come to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And you recall that just before tonight's text, that the people who were at Nazareth heard that, and at first they were amazed, and then they got furious. They wanted to throw him off the cliff, and amazingly, Jesus just walks through and goes down to Nazareth. Well, today now, the gospel reading for this weekend is the continuation. Jesus has amazingly gone as the people have tried to kill him, and he comes down and he fulfills all three of these. He preaches in their synagogue in Nazareth, and the people are amazed at his words, saying, preaching good news. There's a demon who's there, a man who was possessed by a demon. How terrible that is. What freedom he needed, and Jesus casts out the demon and gives freedom to the man who had been prisoner to that demon and Satan. And then Jesus goes and he gives healing to Peter's mother-in-law, released to the oppressed, the oppression that Peter's mother-in-law had. Amazing, amazing authority that Jesus had. Do we recognize Jesus' authority? There's a humorous story that was told. It's a little dated. It was back in the 50s, but there was a politician by the name of Christian Herter. He was governor of Massachusetts. He was talking to people and shaking hands and trying to get all kinds of votes, and he'd been doing that all morning and into the afternoon, and it was getting towards the middle of the afternoon and evening, and he heard about a church picnic. And he thought, what a great place to go and meet some people and shake some hands and get some votes. And as he was going there, he also found out, oh, they were serving food. And he was really hungry. As he was in the line for getting food, he got to the spot where they were giving chicken, and the woman who was giving chicken put one piece of chicken on his plate and turned to give chicken to the next person. And this governor said, ma'am, I'm really hungry. Can I have two pieces of chicken? She says, nope, one per customer. Move on. Well, he decided he'd pull a little bit of rank. And he said, do you know who I am? I'm governor of Massachusetts. And the woman said, do you know who I am? I'm the lady giving out chicken. I love the story because who had the authority there? The woman with the chicken. Who do we oftentimes think has the authority? We want to pull rank, don't we? We want things to go the way that we want them to go. We think that we have the authority, and we want the way things are going in our lives. Jesus is the one who has the authority. Jesus is the one who has that great power over all things. And his power over all things is through his word. How often the scriptures talk about that it is through his word and through the teachings that he has. Oftentimes, we're wowed and amazed at miracles. Whoa, water into wine. Whoa, there's a lot of wine. Whoa, walking on water. We are amazed at that. Whoa, we're amazed at all kinds of miraculous things that Jesus did. But that's not the reason why Jesus did those things, to amaze people. Jesus did those things because he wanted people to know who he was and to listen to his word. The people in Capernaum wanted Jesus to stick around. That night, they brought all kinds of people to Jesus, and Jesus laid his hands on each one of them individually and healed them. And then it must have gotten too dark and everybody went home, but at daybreak, they're coming, they're looking for Jesus, and they wanted him to stay to keep doing more miracles. And what does Jesus say? I must go to the other towns and preach to them. It's my word, Jesus says. It's my word that has authority. It's my word that I want you to hear and to understand. It's interesting that when Jesus, if Jesus was around today and we knew that they were doing miracles, I know a few people that I'd like to take along with me to be healed. You know how we pray for all these brothers and sisters all the time in our prayers, each time that we gather together? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to take them along and have Jesus place their hands on them and heal them? Wouldn't that just be a marvelous thing for our brothers and sisters? We would want the same thing that happens there. But you know, there's one statistic about all those whom Jesus healed. They all died eventually. The healing was a temporary kind of a thing. The healing, the physical healing, was for just a time, but that really wasn't the important thing. The most important thing was Jesus and his word and what Jesus could do for all of their life, not just that simple time, that section of the life. John would write to us in his gospel towards the end, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are recorded so that you may believe. that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. The authority in Jesus is in his name and in his word, and it's what he has to give to us. You recall the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Show us a miracle. What miraculous sign are you going to give to us?" And you remember what Jesus said? "There's only one I'm going to give to you. It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. It's the resurrection." The sign of authority, the sign that God gives for us is his resurrection, his death and resurrection, knowing that the same is for you and for me. Whatever it is that's happening in this life, whatever it is that's going on in this life, Jesus has authority over that and has the final authority as far as eternal life is concerned. God never promises that he is going to heal every disease. You remember the Apostle Paul? "Three times I prayed to the Lord that he would take away that thorn in my flesh." But what does God say to Paul? "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." It's not the healing here, it's the healing of the heart and the healing of the life and the eternal healing that God gives. Tony Campolo, many of you maybe recognize that name. Tony Campolo tells a story about being in a church in Oregon. As he was in that church, there was a wife who said, "Would you please pray for my husband who's here? He has cancer." Tony Campolo was happy to do that, placed his hand on him, and prayed for him. It was a week later, Tony Campolo got a telephone call. It was this woman, it was his wife. And she said, "Pastor Campolo, I just wanted to tell you that my husband, who you prayed for, you know, he's the one who had cancer." And Tony thought, "Had cancer? Oh, he's healed." But then his wife said, "He died." Boy, Tony wondered what in the world that she was going to say after that. But then she continued, "Don't feel bad. When he came into that church last week, he was filled with anger. He was so angry he hated God. He knew that God could do all things, and he was so angry that God didn't heal him. He wanted to see his grandchildren grow up. He wanted to do all these kinds of things, and he knew that he was dying from that, and he made it miserable for all of us. It was terrible being around him. But, Pastor Campolo, I have to tell you that God's word worked in his heart. God's word worked in his heart and gave a peace to him so that the last 3 days of his life were the best days of ever. He sang songs, we sang hymns together, and we prayed prayers, and we read scripture, and a total difference had come over him. Thank you so much for praying for healing." And then Tony Campolo says, and then she said the most remarkable thing. "He wasn't cured, but he was healed." That's why Jesus comes, to give us healing. Not to cure the things in our lives necessarily, but to give us true healing. Jesus is amazing, and he works through all kinds of amazing ways. And the healing that he gives to us is the forgiveness of sins spoken through our pastor to us as we come to church. It's amazing as he gives us new life through the waters of our baptism each and every day. It's amazing that Jesus, true body and true blood, is here tonight, and he gives himself to us, amazing, for the forgiveness of sins and the assurance and strengthening of our faith. We are amazed at Jesus and his word and his sacraments and the gifts that he gives to us. What an amazing gift we can share with others as well, those who maybe don't even know anything about the amazing Jesus that we have. Amazing grace? It's just a song. Or is it true? Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me? Now I have the authority. Oh no, Jesus has the authority. Amazing grace. As we also sing, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." We serve our Lord and Savior Jesus. We love him and live for him, because of his amazing grace and love. In the precious, the amazing name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding keep our hearts and our minds centered in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.